Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of All Things Policy. My name is Mariam Azimuddin, and I work at the Takshashila Institution as Assistant Program Manager. I am your host, and today I will be in conversation with Anushree Suresh, who works here as a Research Associate. Today, we will be delving into the hurdles and the way forward into India's mobile phone manufacturing industry. India is the second biggest mobile phone market in the world, with almost 1.2 billion mobile phones users and 6 million smartphone users. It is also expected to be the fastest growing smartphone market in the world. I mean, clearly, the fact that my 78-year-old grandmother has figured out a hack to get my sister and me to the dinner table by giving us a missed call, being at it, she clearly is on top of the game. So, of course, India's domestic production and exports of mobile phones and smartphones has been increasing steadily, with India becoming the sixth largest exporter of mobile phones in the world in 2022 and becoming the second largest producer of mobile phone manufacturing countries after China. So Anushree, could you share some insights about the current state of India's mobile phone manufacturing industry?
Thank you, Mariam. Really happy to be here. So, like you said, India is currently the second biggest mobile phone market in the world. So India is also the second largest producer of mobile phone manufacturing country after China. So the total number of mobile manufacturing units in India has increased to 268 in 2019 from just having two in 2014. So India in 2022 accounts for 11% of global mobile production.
I mean, clearly the pandemic?
Yeah, of course. The pandemic had like shot the mobile phone usage to a very higher percent. And we actually having just 3% of mobile production in 2014 to 11% was a huge boost.
Quite a boom, huh?
Yeah. And market penetration has also languished at around 40%, where we have the global average of like 60%. So, and it's actually a wonder to say that like India now produces 97% of its total mobile phone demand locally. But the crucial factor that we have to understand here is that many of this, like India's mobile manufacturing base is very much import dependent. So the import of telecom equipment have been rising ever since the early 2000s. And so we can rightly say that right now our imports is mostly shifted from having a very consumption driven imports to production induced imports, where like we are actually importing a lot of components for the manufacturing of the mobile phones domestically.
As you mentioned, India has been dependent on imported components to manufacture mobile phones domestically.
Yes.
Although the country has always sought to build manufacturing and innovation capabilities in telecom equipment, studies have shown that these capabilities are largely in the arena of fixed line telephones and not in the mobile communication equipment. I mean, forcing India to depend on imports of the components,
yes.
Do you think India's historical innovation capacity or lack of one is one of the contributing factors?
Actually, Mariam, yes. We all know that India has been one of the countries who actually historically pushed for building an innovation capability in the telecom sector.
Mm.
So although India has sought to build this manufacturing and innovation capability domestically, there are actually quite a lot of studies that's coming out now that showing that these capabilities are largely in the arena of like fixed line telephones and not actually in the mobile communication equipment. And we also know that especially since the independence, the telecom equipment is one of those industries which has been targeted for import substitution. And government actually had set up a very dedicated standalone public laboratory actually in the 1980s.
Oh.
Yes. It's called Center for Development of Telematics, CDOT. So what basically CDOT was established to do was to develop a family of digital switching equipment, but mainly for the fixed line communication. All That's right. a landline okay. communication.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but some of the studies, some of the callers, hardcore, they say that government intervention actually led to, like, you know, limiting this kind of innovation to fixed line variety only. So we were able to bring certain kind of capacity building in the telecom equipment, but in the landline variety, not in the mobile communication, which was the market post 1990s. Like, mm-hmm. you know, everywhere we know, like mobile phone, nobody uses landline.
Of course.
So the lab was very much actually successful in developing digital switching equipment, which is actually a piece of hardware that we use to manage the digital signals of a telephone exchange and back and forth with the network. That's the digital switching equipment. And CDOT was very successful in building that kind of a technology and was able to bring, like, you know, this kind of a investment into the sector. But this was very much limited to the smaller rural exchanges. And it severely suffered overruns for developing switching equipment for larger capacity. And actually, somehow, this CDOT failed to move towards the mobile communications as well. So, no capability was developed or evolved in mobile communication technology, which was actually the entire market from the late 1990s onwards. So, like, if you look at public laboratories like ETRI in Korea, which was also very much successful in moving to mobile communication technologies in close collaboration with the leading telecom equipment manufacturers in that country.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, actually, there is a paper, very interesting paper written by one Mr. Sunil Mani.
I'm sure I should take a look at that.
Yes, it's a very interesting paper, actually, Mariam. And that paper kind of analyzes India's and Korea's model of developing innovation capability in the telecommunication sector. And see, like, why, even though we started at the very same year, how Korea was able to predict rather accurately the future trajectory of telecom technologies with a lot of precision, while India had a very limited success. So, consequent to this lack of technological capability, especially in the conceptualization, design, and manufacture of mobile communication equipment, was the excessive reliance on imports. So, like, obviously, like, you know, our innovation was, like, hampered, that forced us to depend on the imports for a lot of components for the manufacturing of the mobiles. So right now we do meet a lot of our domestic demand from the imports from China and all those countries. So especially post 1990s, when the mobile phone subscription grew exponentially in India, and at the moment we did not have any credible manufacturers of mobile phones. Mm-hmm. So what emerged was like a few domestic manufacturers coming up who kind of sprung up relying on the imported parts. So they import a lot of components and they become the assemblers of imported parts.
Also, these days, we do see a lot of push by the government to establish a domestic hub of sorts for domestic manufacturing of mobile phones and parts.
I mean,
earlier this year, Anushree, we did come across the headlines on import duty cut to lower cost pressure. And if you take a look at the set of policies from National Telecom Policy to Make in India and the PLI scheme, I'm sure we can clearly see a push towards India's manufacturing base, isn't it? So, what were the major policies that had an impact in developing India's mobile manufacturing base?
You're very right, Mariam. So, actually, like we said, in order to, like, you know, capitalize on this growing market for telecommunications equipment, the government has been actively pushing towards building India as a, like, a mobile phone manufacturing hub. So, like, there were quite a lot of policies that has been formed to push in this regard.
Yeah, clearly.
Yes. So, like, if you take a look at a series of policies that had come in the last few years, I would like to, like, kind of compartmentalize into two sets. First set will be, like, you know, set of policies that are intended to liberalize the foreign direct investment, which had a quite a lot of positive impact.
Right.
We will come back to that.
Of course.
Secondly, was the kind of policies like, you know, National Telecom Policy, the National Manufacturing Policy of 2012, and the National Policy on Electronics 2019, which all these policies, the second set, are mainly targeted towards, like, you know, increasing the domestic manufacturing and simultaneously reducing the import content of what is being manufactured domestically. So first set was like mostly focusing on liberalizing the foreign direct investment. And I personally feel we were able to bring a lot of like positive impact in that set of policies than the second set. We'll come back to that later.
Sure.
So also we have policies like the phased manufacturing program, the PMP, which was again implemented with the objective of like, you know, progressively increasing the domestic value addition of the establishment of a robust cellular mobile handsets manufacturing ecosystem in India. And we also have the National Digital Communication Policy 2018, which was also an effort to add India into the global value chain for mobile phones through increased focus on the domestic production, increasing exports and reducing the import. So, like I said, like, you know, because of like all these policies, especially because of the first sets of policies that tried to liberalize the foreign direct investment, the FDI, there were a lot of like, you know, MNCs came to India to set up manufacturing facilities in the country. For example, I think quite a lot of MNCs came actually during that period to India. Like if you look at the Samsung manufacturing facility, So Samsung actually set up a very large factory for mobile phones in Noida, and I think that has a kind of an installed capacity of like about 120 million units per year. So that's quite huge, and they say that like along with our policies to liberalize the foreign direct investment, these MNCs also had an interest in India to set up manufacturing units. It's also because, like, you know, like everywhere else, the mobile phone market was saturating. Like, you know, they reached that point, like, okay, everyone uses mobile phone. The market is not growing. But if you look at India's population, India's growing population, the demography and everything, India has a very growing market for telecommunications equipment and particularly mobile handsets.
We've seen that.
Yeah, the growing population has that kind of a very strong demand from the market. But the challenge. So the major challenge
pros
here
and cons
is that,
always exist.
Yes, coexist. So they here the major challenge was that. So we were pushing a lot for the setting up of domestic manufacturing base, right? And then like also, okay, reduce the dependency on the imports. So that's our focus of major policies. But what is the challenge? Challenge is that any country, so if a country wants to have a manufacturing position in certain global value chain, especially if it's a technology related manufacturing, it requires innovation capability, because only then this firm will be able to keep in pace with what is the technological developments that's happening in the domain. For example, 3G to 4G or 4G to 5G, it's a very rapidly moving sector. So only if you're like very much like in pace with what's happening out there, you will be able to keep up with the sector. So the policy of like, you know, we initially spoke about CDOT. We initially spoke about like, you know, how government was actively intervening in the sector, right? So because of that kind of an intervention, India's telecommunication sector and its innovation capability hasn't really grown. It had a very limited growth. Okay, first, if you look at like in like I think I already mentioned it before. Since independence, we had kind of a lot of import substitution policies.
It's come a long way, huh?
And that import substitution policy is like, if you really look at it, like, you know, even establishing the Indian telephone industry, the ITA was like one of the firstest state-owned enterprises.
Right.
And sadly, that was in telecommunication. And because of that, like, you know, a lot of focus is in the public sector, and that kind of hampers innovation. And that's a classic example everywhere.
Clearly.
And even though we were able to bring certain kind of technological capability in the fixed line variety, we were not able to predict the advancement in the sector and move forward with time. And if I take another example, like, you know, we also had like, you know, very successful assembling units of Micromax and Leva also here in India. But again, like, you know, I think Micromax also had like a very much focused production in the 3G sector. So the 3G was their entire focus. So they were not actually able to move forward with time when the 4G came. And everyone demands 4G. Everyone demands the most high-tech mobile phones. So that kind of led to the collapse, their collapse actually. Okay. So innovation capability is the crucial factor for these kind of manufacturing firms to survive. And sadly, India is not.
Sadly. There. I mean, sadly, we would say that.
Yeah.
All right. So to wrap our episode, Anushree, although the domestic production of mobile phones has registered some significant increase since 2015-16, it's largely the assembly of the imported parts. I mean, as such, no domestic production or innovation capability has been created or is in the offing in the foreseeable future.
Yes, you're very right.
This dependent development has led to India's technology trade deficit in payments as well. While the push has been strong towards making mobile phones in India, to reverse this growing deficit, it is leading to increased imports of parts. So, is the nudge towards domestic manufacturing the right step to reduce the growing trade deficit in the merchandise account of India's balance of payments, considering the fact we missed the bus to building innovation capability?
I think that's a very, very interesting question that we really need to look deeply into. So I think, rightly you said that we were not able to create an innovation capability. So that led to us being import dependent for our manufacturing unit. And this kind of independent development also leading to India's technology trade deficit. So like even though like a lot of policies has been there to like, you know, reduce this import dependence and build like a large domestic base, that's not really possible because like, you know, first innovation is being hampered and then like, you know, the more like, you know, we have to depend on imports if you want to support the manufacturing base. So we can rightly agree that India is expected to continue its import dependence in the mobile manufacturing sector.
So you do see a rise. We do yes. see a rise, of course.
Yeah. So if you rightly agree that like, you know, we have to completely like, you know, let go that idea that we would be able to stop the import and that will give the nudge for domestic manufacturing. No, it won't. We have to continue with the import dependence in the mobile manufacturing sector, as well as I think it's going to continue in the future as well, because like, you know, a lot of MNCs, they have, you know, they have the patents in several communication technologies and they are also protected in India. Okay, so despite of our increased export, this is leading to increased imports of parts and a worsening gross value added to the gross value output, the GVA to the GVO output ratio.
Right.
Okay. So I don't think actually like, you know, push towards this domestic manufacturing is the anecdote that we are actually looking to address this issue. Okay. So, concluding, there are a lot of other factors also that we need to really look into here. We have to question whether India's dependence on foreign technology and imported parts for establishing a mobile phone manufacturing industry is a result of a faulty policy of not strategically directing her dedicated public R&D program or not. So in a sense, like, you know, we had a lot of push towards innovation capability through C-DOT and everything. But why were India not able to achieve certain kind of a results, like not direct the R&D program in the right way, like maybe countries of Korea and China, like we have to look into those case studies. And see how certain kind of consortium with the manufacturing firms, with the private sector,
you're right.
Enable those countries. We need to really look into those.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think one way where we can improve actually, Mariam, is like, I feel like, you know, we could like, you know, building certain innovation capabilities, definitely one way. That is how, like, do we need the public laboratories and have another failed example, or like build a consortium with the manufacturing firms, like, you know, be the enabler, not the controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there are other factors that need to be considered here too. Only like, you know, no matter what, we can only actually localize certain components. Like if you say that we have to reduce the imports and everything, it's not really possible to bring all the components and sub-assemblies to India and have that kind of a domestic manufacturing setup. It's not possible.
You're right.
Because firstly, we don't have the necessary skills and technology that needed to produce all the inputs. And secondly, the overall aggregate demand that's necessary for domestic investment in some inputs is quite much larger than the demand created by the prevailing production level. So even to create one small component, if you want to invest a lot more than the final product, we do prefer
cost,
to like invest in the final
cost
product.
Clearly right? Is shooting up.
So this deters businesses from actually investing in the domestic production of relevant input. So India has to continue the imports. That's what I feel like is the right step. We can't stop the imports. We have to continue the imports. And we should not focus much on the import substitution policies, actually. So the focus must be that the Indian firms maintain the competitiveness. I think that is very important factor that, like, instead of focusing on the make in India and all the fact, like, you know, okay, like, we need to have a domestic manufacturing base. The focus must be, should be like about how much our firms are competitive in the foreign market.
Right.
So how do we ensure that we have a, like a very competitive firms out there? By best available inputs be used. So the import substitution policy will completely hamper that aspect. So we have to make sure that we are using the best available inputs to giving a best competitive product.
Right.
Yeah. So increase in tariffs on inputs does not lead to higher domestic manufacturing at all. And that's also something completely needs to be eliminated. So I think that gives you a fair idea. I don't think, like, again, like, domestic manufacturing is the anecdote to all these issues. But we have to see, like, how we can be more competitive, let the market evolve in a way that our firms are more competitive. And that's giving a final best product.
So there's a ray of hope. Wherever we go. Thank you for joining me on this episode, Anushree. This has been quite an insightful discussion. And I think we need to have more conversations on these topics to understand the challenges and opportunities to India's domestic mobile phone manufacturing. Stay tuned for more episodes on all things policy.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.